Him. We're thankful for today to know that He's leading and guiding us, even into all truth. God bless you that can make it out today. Good to see each one of you. You have your Bibles this morning. We'll be looking into the Scripture. Ephesians, the second chapter. And we'll read verses 18 to 22. God bless you. For those that were wondering about my condition, yeah, I just got out of the hospital here a little less than 24 hours ago. So if I don't hug on you all day and stuff, it's because I have several incisions on my back, including a larger one. So don't take it as me being antisocial, just trying to stay alive. So they took about 3 liters of fluid off my right lung. It was almost completely collapsed at one point from the pressure of that. So my breathing's a lot better, which is good because you have to breathe to live. I found that out. So that's the long and short. I'm not here to give you my medical history today, but just appreciate the prayers and the support of the people. If I don't jump around quite as much today, you know, it's more than jumping around anyway. So that's not why we're here. And if that's why you're here, maybe you have to reevaluate your reason for coming. So, but I believe we still have service today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Speaking of Christ, it says, excuse me, it says, through Him, for through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And I just want to speak about that today, this afternoon, the habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. And I just wonder if we could bow our heads for a word of prayer first here today, looking into the author of this word now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are certainly a privileged people to have the opportunity to be here today, Lord, and know that when there are so many that have not heard, Lord, or maybe they've heard and they've not believed, or whatever it would be, whatever their reason for not being here today is, Lord, that we could gather together and hear and believe this good word of God, that there's a fertile ground that you found to plant this seed upon, that you could bring forth 30, 60, even 100-fold. Father, we are greatly desiring to do the word would have a mighty effect in our lives. And we believe that's your purpose and your desire. We just want to submit ourselves now to that, O God. And we pray you get yourself great glory and honor in our midst. May the word go forth with a mighty unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit and speak to the lives and the hearts and the needs of the individuals that have been gathered here today. For myself, God, I pray you'd help me give strength now to this body and speak to these people. Father, we believe that you are still an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And we just commit this service, our lives, our very souls into your hands now, and pray that you'd have your way, and may you receive all praise and glory and honor, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. As you're seated today, we look here in the, start off reading a few statements here the prophet makes, talking about this. He says, in a true sign that is overlooked, 1961, he says, God is not divided. Can I get an amen? God is not divided. Denominations divide the churches, but not God. One said, are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, that's no more than saying he's a pig. Say, well, I'm a Methodist. Well, that's no more than a pig again to God. I say, are you a Christian? To be a Christian, you must be Christ-like, tabernacling deity in you, with the Holy Ghost, like fell on the day of Pentecost. Not some emotion, but I mean a real Pentecost. See, right. The book of Acts chapter 7 tells us, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? The prophet of God says again, the stature of perfect man. Is this all right this morning? Let's lay a little bit of foundation here. He says, now this is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple. See, a body thou hast prepared me. A body that God can dwell in. God can walk in. God can see in. God can talk in. God can work in. Amen. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. I want to emphasize that this morning in case you missed that. God's instrumentality, God walking in 2 feet in you. It's not enough to say that God uses men, God uses women, God walks people. It has to be personal for us today. That's our purpose, I believe, in being here. If it's not personal to us, we've got no business, we've got no part in this. Is that right? The Bible tells us if the Spirit of Christ is not in us, we're none of His. Amen? So God walking on 2 feet in you, He says, glory. He gets a little excited about that. Amen? He says, the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. God walking in you, for ye are written epistles, read of all men. And the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. Amen. This idea this morning of tabernacling deity, as it defines to me the very essence of true Christianity. Is that right? The Apostle Peter told us that we are lively stones in a spiritual house. Amen. Amen. We're not a bunch of dead stones that we just gathered up from the side of the road somewhere. Amen. You just get a bunch of stones. Is that right? And just, I got some gravel here, some concrete here. I just found some leftover garbage somewhere and I built up a monument because I had nothing better to work with. No. God said, if I've got you, I'll find lively stones that'll cry out. Amen. If you won't do it, God will raise up stones that'll cry out. Is that right? These are lively stones in the spiritual house. Amen. You and I are here today, but not just because we're the products of good instruction. Amen, somebody. Well, come on, help me preach a little bit. Amen. Every joint supplies. Now you're going to have to do your part here. Amen. I'm trying. We're not here today living these lives that we live today because we are here through the aid of psychology and religious indoctrination and ethical deliberations, and we've developed a better lifestyle than other people or what we used to have. We've not gathered here today, I don't believe, to simply assert the superiority of our lifestyle and our ethics and our choices over another group of people. Amen. Or of our philosophy, being a better philosophy, you say, well, I should hope not. That's preposterous. Why would we do such a horrible thing? But that's what religion does. Oh, yeah. That's the very basis of what religion does. Amen. We gather together to assert our dominance, our superiority over another group. Amen. Well, we are ethically more refined. We've got a better choice of life and a better lifestyle. We've got better doctrine. And we know that we're better than everybody else. So we've gathered together to tell each other how much better off we are than everybody else. Amen. If the other person comes in, we let them know how much better off we are. Is that right? You think of that Jew, the two that come into the temple. And one, he sat there and said, I pay my tithes. Amen. I do all these things. I keep the law. He said, I'm glad I'm not like this guy over. That's the essence of religion. He said, I'm glad I'm not like this guy over here. But the other guy could look at his own life and his own condition. Now listen, he's religious in the sense he went to the temple to give sacrifice and do things. But yet he can look at his own life and his own need and realize, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. He could smite his own chest and realize his own need for God, despite his own upbringing, despite his lifestyle, he had a need for God. Is that right? So when you say, well, that's ridiculous, that's what religion does. That's what they do. Is that, well, praise the Lord, somebody. I hope that's not why we got together. Amen. Is that right? Listen, that's what it's about, is to sit there and compare ourselves with ourselves. So Paul said, is that right? You look at the Apostle Paul in his life as a religious, zealous Jew. And what was his whole life built upon? Comparing himself with everyone else. He said, I exceeded my brethren in zeal. I was born of the stock of Benjamin. Concerning the law, I was blameless. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He could sit there and brag all day about how much more pious he was than you. And he got all laid out. Listen, he probably liked to preach that sermon in church a few times. Amen, somebody. Well, I know we're missing a few people today. That's all right. We're going to have church anyway. Amen. Listen, he could get together and he could assert all these things. Is that right? That's what people like to do. But listen, that's not why you and I are here today. Amen. Amen. Because they think that somehow they're more deserving of an escape from condemnation because of their behavior or their lifestyle choice. But that's not why we're here today. Amen. What has happened here? It's something different, amen? Listen, you look at people like that. You look at religious people. You look at a man that goes to the temple and he offers a sacrifice and he does religious things. What is he looking for? He's looking for a visitation. He wants God to visit him and tell him, hey, good job. Keep up the good work. You're doing a great job. And then he can run off for the rest of the week and he can go live his own life outside of the auspices and the eyes of God. He can do whatever he wants. Amen, somebody? They're comfortable with a visitation from God once a week. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. They're comfortable with a visitation once a week where they can share their religious platitudes with one another and then go home with a clean conscience and live according to the dictates of their own heart. And then they're not interested in a God that's going to go home and live with them. They're not interested in a God that's going to come into their very innermost being. A God that's going to search out every hidden corridor and every unsurrendered door and every unsurrendered room of their heart. They're not interested in that. Amen? That's why you say, well, you look at the vanity of religion. Why do they elevate that? Because it's comfortable. Because that's what they want. They want that. They want to assert that over someone. Well, praise the Lord. Amen? They want a visitation, but God wants a habitation. God's not interested in visiting you today and say, well, it's nice to see you on Sunday, brother. Can't wait to see you next week. No, God wants to go home with you. God wants to go home with you. And when you go home and do whatever it is you do at home, God wants to be involved in it. Probably should start doing some things God wants to do at our home if we're going to have him live with us. Amen? Well, I'll tell you what, it's the truth anyhow. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. It's a lot like I say. Well, it's another thing I say a lot. Amen. Amen. Saying that God wants a habitation. People want visitation. It's like talking about marriage. So lots of people want a wedding, but they don't want a marriage. It's truth. Amen. Listen, lots of people are interested in a wedding, but they're not interested in going home with somebody. Well, hallelujah, someone. It's the truth. Listen, they want a big reception where they get all the finest gifts and they can have expensive food and everybody can come there and see them dressed up in their best. And they can congratulate them and say, hey, man, way to go. You know, they talk to the woman. Congratulations, you got yourself a real keeper there. They want to have a big fancy wedding where they're the center of attention. You say, how do you know they'll be the center of attention? Who goes to a 3-hour wedding for anything but to pay attention to the bride and the groom? Exactly. Well, praise the Lord. It's the truth, amen. Well, I don't know what. Anybody ever been to a long wedding that they enjoyed? Let's just be real honest. I mean, if you invite me to a wedding, you tell me it's gonna be a 4-hour ceremony. I say, I gotta mow that day. I got things going on. Well, it's gonna be 6 hours. We're gonna go through his childhood and my childhood on a bunch of slideshows, and then we're gonna sing a bunch of song specials. Then I'm gonna sing to her, and she's gonna sing to me. Then we're gonna juggle for a little bit. Then we're gonna have you stand up, sit down, and we're gonna read, and we'll preach a 2-hour sermon, and we'll do some more. We'll do some jumping through the hula. You know what I'm saying? Some. Come on now. You get these big processions. And they've got all this money and time and effort. They've got the wedding of their dreams planned out. And it's all tied up in this big, exorbitant show. Doing a bunch of, that's what it is, it's a show. Well, praise the Lord. Well, that's not popular, amen. Nobody asked me to do their wedding, I guess. Amen. And they want to do all this stuff. And they have a bunch of doing nothing, amen. And what is it? It's satisfying some sort of a vanity in their lives. They put all their time and all their effort and all their money into planning a wedding, but they haven't thought about how's the first argument going to go when you get home. They haven't thought about what you do when that one gets sick, when there's no money in the bank, when you start having kids and you start having problems and somebody's in the hospital. They're not thinking about it. That's the furthest thing from their mind. They want a wedding, but they're not worried about a marriage. And that's why when the first trouble comes along, they abandon ship. Now you've got them paying for a $50,000 wedding, getting married for the second time. They weren't thinking ahead. Amen. Amen. They were more worried about visitation and everybody coming and seeing their slideshows and the cute little outfits they wore when they were kids and the cute little outfits they wore at their wedding than what a marriage really takes. Because it takes commitment. It's going to take God. It's going to take some compromise somewhere. It's going to take some long suffering. It's going to take some character. It's going to take a commitment, amen? And they're not worried about that. They don't want nothing to do with that. But that's exactly what it takes. And so it is with Christ. Oh, everybody loves to flirt with Christ. Oh, they love to make eyes with Christ. And so I bet he'd love to take me home. I bet he'd love to take me to a wedding supper. But no one wants to work and labor and suffer. Nobody wants to make that kind of a commitment where you've got to take him home with you. And he's going to tell you some things you don't want to hear. And you've got to decide. Are you going to sit there and complain about how he wants his house run? Or are you going to do what he's got to say? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Christ ain't looking for a girlfriend. Amen, somebody. He's not into modern dating. He ain't looking for some girl to shack up with for a week and get her a kid so she can live off government assistance while he goes and gets another girl pregnant somewhere. He wants a bride. You say, how do you know that? Because he told you in his word. He wouldn't build a home for her. Amen. He wants to live with you. He wouldn't build a, look, he can go rent an apartment somewhere, but he built a home because he wants to live with us. And if he wants to live with us, we ought to want him to live in us. Amen. Well, I ain't got gold streets to offer him. Amen. I ain't got fancy walls and a 1,500 mile high city to offer him. I just got a little room in my heart. Yeah. And if you can't give that up for him, what do you expect him to do for you? What kind of a marriage is this anyhow? Right. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, we love visitation. We love visits. But God's looking for somebody. Says, I want to dwell with this King of Kings. I want to live with this Lord of Lords every day of my life. Not just in some by and by when life's over and I've had my fun. And I did what I wanted. And I pursued my ambitions and my ideas and my dreams. No, I was looking for somebody that says, I want Christ now more than I've ever wanted him before. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, there's something there, amen. It's more than just wanting him to do something for us. There's somewhere in our life where we say, you know what? I can't be satisfied unless he's got preeminence in my life. Amen. I just want to shack up with him. I want him to be the Lord, not just the Savior, the Lord of my life. I want him to tell me, and I say, amen, Lord, no matter what it is, amen. If I've got to suffer to reign with him, then I'll suffer, amen. Praise the Lord. Is that all right? You look at Paul, like I said, you can look at Paul's life. He could brag about religion. He could brag about his abilities. But when he caught a glimpse of this Christ, he said, I've got to have this preeminence in my life. You know what he said? He said what I say. He said, all these things that were gained to me, I counted them loss for Christ. Amen. It wasn't something for me to look at and boast about. It wasn't something for me to attach significance to. He said, I didn't count it as gain. I counted it as loss. That just took me further away. Amen. He said, yea, doubtless, I count all things. Hallelujah, somebody. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered. Yeah. Amen. Listen to this kind of life that I'm talking about. There's some suffering involved there. Amen. You want to get married, there's going to be some suffering. Is that right? There's three kinds. How's that go? I don't want to get into that. I mean, there's three kinds of rings. You got the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. Is that right? Three rings with every marriage. And listen, that's not just men and women. I'm saying, listen, when you yoke yourself to somebody in a lifelong commitment, they're going to go through things that you don't want them to go through. Amen. And you're going to have to stand there and fulfill your obligation if you believe in a marriage vow. Is that right? Look, I'm not just talking about picking on one another, fighting at home and scrapping over socks on the floor. Amen. My wife, she didn't want to see me in a hospital, but here we are. But you know what? She didn't abandon me. She didn't leave me. She stood with me. Amen. Why? Because she made a commitment. Amen. She wasn't worried about hospital visits. She wanted me to come back home. Well, praise the Lord. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Amen. Amen. This is a life. It's not simply engaged in an abundance of religious activity, because that's what Paul had been doing. Amen. And he found out the more zealous, the more religious he was, the less it did anything for him. That just took him further away from God. Here he is persecuting the very people of God, not realizing why the very things that he exalted in his own life were the very things that blinded him to what God was trying to do. Amen. Amen. We exalt things in our personal life, And we let things get God into second or third or fourth place in our life. And we think we're going to be okay. We're just going to squeak on by. That's affecting you. Whether you're it'll blind you. You'll blind yourself to it. Amen. Your own pride, your own hubris and vanity will blind you to things that should be obvious. Because you don't want to see the truth. You want to see your opinion come out in another voice, the voice of God. You want to see God validate you. Well, that smoking, that drinking, this addiction in your life, this lust, whatever rules you, it's okay. God loves you. Amen, somebody. Well, listen, God does love you. That's why He don't want that for you. He desires something better for you than that. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Well, it's truth. It's because God does love you. He don't want to leave you there. Amen. Well, hallelujah. This man, Paul, he could look at what he'd been doing and he'd been more zealous than his own peers, but he counted it as dung. Amen. In other words, he forsook those things. Things he once cherished. He forsook them that he might have Christ himself. Amen. Look, he wasn't just looking for Christ's approval, although that's good. He wasn't just looking for Christ's favor or Christ's blessings. He wanted Christ himself. The person of God tabernacling inside of him. That's what his desire was. That's what moved him. That's what forged a man that could be whipped and beaten and shipwrecked and thrown into prisons. You say, brother, you're not looking too well. Paul got up one day after being stoned to death just about. And God went and preached. Because there was something in his life. The smoke louder than them stones that about buried him. There was something in his life was greater than the lashes of the whip. Greater than prisons and torments and fastings and being abandoned and forsaken. There's something greater in his life. It was Christ. No matter what his circumstances were, this Christ that lived in him was still greater. Hallelujah, somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Amen. Notice how he says, know ye not that ye are the temple. Now, I'm just going to take my time on this for just a second. Amen. But what he says is, know ye not that ye are the temple. Is that right? You notice when Peter addresses the people on the day of Pentecost, he speaks to them, ye men of Israel, is that right? Whenever you see you read the commandments and you read thou or thine or whatever, it's speaking about an individual. If I say I've come to see you all, if I've come to see you today, am I talking about you as a group of people? Am I talking about Brother Steve? Am I talking about Sister Betty? Who am I talking about? Amen. But this Greek, when they translate it into this English and you use the English that they use in the King James, amen. When it's talking about ye, he's talking about a group of people he's addressing, amen. So he's saying that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, amen. You say, what are you getting out of that? We think about ourselves as the temple, and that's true in one sense. We're tabernacling deity, and we were talking about that, amen. But I want you to understand what God is talking about is we collectively are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when he's talking about this, he's saying that you should not defile the temple of God. So yeah, you shouldn't defile this temple. That's true, amen. You shouldn't defile this temple. But I wonder how many times we try to defile one another with our speech, with our attitudes, the way we handle one another. And we treat each other like a bunch of sinners saved by grace. We're just, man, I don't like going to church with that guy. That sister's loud. This and this and that. You be careful. That's the temple of God you're talking about. Amen. Would you blaspheme the temple of God? You see, we've got to be careful not just how we handle ourselves, but how we handle one another. Because we're part of the same temple, whether we like it or not. Amen. And I made sure to throw that in there this morning. Whether we like it or not, we are a collective, mystical, universal body of Christ that is the temple of God. Amen. You say, so we're all temples. What do you mean by that? Are you saying that we're not the temple? This is not the idea. Amen. Listen. My saying that we are a temple does not diminish that we each tabernacle deity, amen? I'm not diminishing the idea that we each tabernacle deity. In fact, I'm promoting the quality of the material he's using to build the temple, amen? It doesn't take away from God that you each tabernacle deity. It adds to the fact he chose lively stones for his spiritual house, amen? Like I said earlier, it's the quality of the material. He wants each of us as believers with the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to make up this temple. Amen? So listen, if you're part of this temple, you're in a good spot. Because God chose only the best of the best. He said, only lively stones will do. I don't want a bunch of concrete and mortar and this and that. Only lively stones that are tabernacling deity on their own will do. Amen? Amen. God took lively stones. Think about it. God took people, different individuals from all manner of life. Amen. He pulled some of us out of pride, some of us out of vanity, from lust and addiction, from religion, from all manner of hosts of filth and sin. He pulled all these things out. And he made lively stones for a spiritual temple. He said, I'm not going to put you in this temple, a dirty, filthy stone. You're not some washed up pebble on the beach. Amen. He said, I'm going to make these lively stones. And that's how I'm going to build my temple. Amen. I've justified them. I've sanctified them. I've filled them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And these lives that he has made perfect within himself, that's the material he builds this house out of. Amen. That's, listen, this is why it's a temple made without hands. Listen, if it was your natural life, that's a temple made without hands. That's what your mommy built, your daddy built, the teacher built, psychology built, popular opinion built, you built. Amen. But when it's God living in you, that's a temple that hands didn't make. Only God can do that. Amen. That's what makes us a temple made without hands. Is that right? I'm not talking about your natural life. You could look at that and say that was made by natural ability, natural hands. Is that right? But we're talking about the deity tabernacling in the believer. Is that right? So that's the only, listen, that's the only kind of material he'll build you the temple. Otherwise, he's got to put on there 99% not built with human hands. Well, praise the Lord. He ain't got some 50 cotton, 50 poly thing going on here. He says it's made without human hands. That means every bit of it is made without human hands. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this all right today? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the only way it's fit to be a part of the temple. That's why I said, listen, we're one body, whether we like it or not. Whether you like it or not. You say, why do you say that? I think sometimes we resent that. Well, it's all right. You can admit it. We're in church this morning. It's time to repent. It's okay. It's true, you can admit it. Sometimes we resent that we need one another. It's true. Come on now, you're going to be honest. Sometimes we think the eye doesn't need the ear. Or the hand says, well, you don't know. Well, they did that in the Corinthian church. I guess it's just them. We never get mad at one. Brother, no, yeah, whatever. If we're not careful, we do that. Amen. Now listen, I understand being frustrated with somebody because they're doing something stupid. I got kids, I understand. That's a good place to stop, isn't it? Listen, I understand that. We've got to be careful how we treat one another. Is that just another sinner that's trying to impersonate a sheep? Or is God in their life trying to deal with them? Amen? Because remember, the same God that's in them dealing with all their nonsense puts up with yours. Amen, somebody. You know, why can't the eye say, I don't need the ear? Because they're not independent of one another. They need one another, whether they like it or not. Amen. Listen, maybe you woke up this morning and your back hurt. Well, you didn't leave your back at home when you come to church. You dragged it right here with everything else that hurt. Maybe you had a toothache or something else. You know what? You dragged it along anyway. Why? Because it's part of the body. So whether you liked what it was doing to you or not, it had an obligation to show up with the rest of the body. Praise the Lord, somebody. That's the truth. Is that right? Listen, you might look at me this morning and be like, why is this guy even up in the pulpit? Amen. Because I'm part of the body. The body showed up to church. Well, hopefully some of it did anyway. Amen. Listen, you can question my capability to minister this morning. You can question that anytime you want. Whatever. You might not think I preach my own paper bag any day of the week. That's fine. You can question that, amen. But if you just question it based on how much I run or shout, amen, you've got to question, what are you looking at, amen? Because look, I didn't show up today because I felt good. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, if you think the only time I show up to church is when I feel good, I hope I proved you wrong today. Amen, somebody. If you think I just show up to look good, amen, tell you what, I got all kinds of stuff coming out my back right now, amen. I'd probably look like a wreck. That's not why I come here today. I come here today because the body shows up to church. Amen. I made a commitment, not just to a man, but to God. Amen. I made a commitment. I said, God, if you want me to go, wherever you sent me to go, God, if I can go, I'll go. Amen. If I could have been here Wednesday, if they'd let me, I'd have been here. Amen. Probably been that much worse at the time, but. Listen, see, why do you say that, brother? Because I realized a long time ago that I'm part of something greater than myself. This body's greater than you. It's greater than I, amen? This kingdom, before I was on this earth, this kingdom of God, this body of Christ was here. And if I should live 100 years, and if I should die and never preach a sermon again, this kingdom will go on. Amen. This habitation will continue. There's nothing I can do to stop it. I didn't start it. And I can't stop it. Amen? Amen? I'm part of something that's greater than me. I'm part of the kingdom of God. Amen? And that's why I'm here today. I've been caught up. I've been called up into something greater than just you and me today. And that's why we're here. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Well, if it bothers you, I'm here today. Just keep in mind how people didn't show up today. Psh. Oh, I didn't feel good. Well, I showed up. Psh. You showed up. Amen. Look, I'm not picking on any individual. But listen, there's people out in the world right now. They could have come to church. Amen. They could have showed up. But they're busy living their lives for themselves in wantonness and excess. And they're going to say, they're going to come to judgment and start making a bunch of excuses like people do. They say, well, I didn't know there's a church there. Well, I didn't know. I had something going on. And there's this little hillbilly preacher in Defiance, Ohio, with a bunch of marks on his back. Can't hardly breathe. And he showed up to church. You showed up to church. Where's the excuse? There is no excuse. See, they were caught up in their own lives. But you and I caught a vision of something greater. You and I have been caught into something bigger than ourselves. That's why we're here. We're not living these lives for ourselves. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Oh my. See, how badly do we want this? What I'm talking about. How bad do we want this today? Is it worth praying 5 minutes a day for? Come on, somebody. Is it worth showing up to church once a week for? How badly do we want to press in? Are we willing to press in when it don't feel good? Are we willing to press in when it's not convenient? I mean, do we want to fight for every inch? Or do we think some sort of a cosmic accident's going to drop the kingdom on our lap? Listen, it's like I said, there's men that have suffered many more times than I have, that have stood and preached for God. And where would I be today to meet them on that day and shake their hand and say, I just didn't feel like it that day. Look, I'm not just saying that for me, that's for each one of us. How sincere are we about this? And man, are we just building our own kingdom or are we part of this habitation? That's not built with human hands. Look, human hands didn't bring me here today. I wanted to stay in bed and sleep, Brother James. I tell you what, I hadn't slept that well in a week. I woke up and said, man, I could do that for another 12 hours. Amen. God has called me to something. God has called me to something greater than that. Amen. Listen, it's like my daddy said, you'll have plenty of time to sleep when you're dead. Amen. This pain I'm going through and all that, it's going to pass. This too shall pass. All this stuff I'm putting up with today, one day it's going to be gone. And I shall remain. Amen. And for no other reason, I come to church today to give the devil a black eye. I showed up anyhow. Boo, devil. You tried to kill me. You tried to do these things to me. That didn't make me back up on serving God. That just made me preach all the more. That just gave me one more reason to preach this kingdom. That just gave me one more reason to serve God. Amen. I'm not going to let my like I said about Paul, I'm not going to let my circumstances dictate what I do. Because the God that lives inside of me, He's greater than sickness. He's greater than pain. And if I've got a breath in my body to serve God today, I'm going to come and serve God anyhow. Listen, it's bigger than us as individuals. That's how you know there's something different about us. It's not an organization. It's an organism. It's a body of Christ. look, I'm suffering today and you're suffering with me. That's okay, because when one of you rejoices, I rejoice with you. Amen. Every joint supplies. You say, why are you here today, brother? I need you just as much as you need me. Maybe this meeting's for me today. If it's not for you, it's for me. Amen. Listen, we're part of one another. And I wanted to come here today. If nothing else, I want to testify to you. When you don't feel like going on and you don't feel like serving God, remember Brother Alex said it's worth it. Yes. It's worth it while my back's flaring up and my heat's rising. It's worth it for me to stand here and preach anyhow, because I've caught a glimpse of something greater than anything the hospital could show me, anything doctors could tell me, anything the world could offer me. What I've seen is seized upon the very reins of my soul. It's not an organization, because that'll die. This is an organism. It's a body of Jesus Christ. But the man said, we're not building an organization. I'm not coming here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build individuals into the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse. Not just the house of powerhouse. The powerhouse and the dwelling place of the Spirit by His Word. Amen. And then not a weakness house. Not a squeamy, squirmy house. Not a compromising everyone when I feel like it house. Not a halfway house. Well, that's pretty good. Hey, man, I'll put that in my notes for next time. Halfway house, halfway believers. Amen. We're not that kind of a house. This is the powerhouse of God. You say, brother, you don't look too powerful this morning. Get your eyes on the Word. Listen to Elisha's dead bones. We're in a grave one day to raise the dead. Maybe the problem is I'm trying too hard. Amen. You don't have to come up here and have me lay hands on you. You could just lay in my shadow if you believe. Well, hallelujah. How you like that one? You could just, if you believe, look, it's documented. We've got documentation. It works. Don't put it all on me today. It's on you. You're the body. You're the body. I'm part of it too, but you're the body. Amen. We make it about the preacher so much. And I want you to realize, if nothing else, say anything about me, because I ain't got nothing to offer you today. But you've got something to do with it. You can control. You can influence the atmosphere. You can have faith. Amen. You can pull on the Word. You can see answers to prayer. Amen. And listen, I'm not saying not going to pray for anybody. That's not what I'm getting at. But listen, where's our expectation at? Is it on the man to do something for you? Please don't ever do that to yourself. I'm not worthy of that. I'm so much smaller than the kingdom of God. I'm so much smaller than all that, and so are you. Don't do that to us. Don't do that to God. Amen. Listen, you can just lay in a shadow. Man, I could throw a handkerchief on you and devils get cast out. Where do we want to live at today? Do we want to be limited by the speaker's ability to say it the way we like? Or do we want to act in faith and believe what this Bible says? No matter what we look like, no matter what kind of a condition we're in. It's a powerhouse. I choose to believe that. That's a good word. We might be the powerhouse, the dwelling place of God by His Word. By His Word, see, build up the individual to that place. Not build an organization to greater denomination, but build the individual to sons and daughters of God. He says again, the rising of the sun, the Spirit that raised them from the dead, the Word, the dynamic of the Word, dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. He says, now how are we flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone? Because quickly, He says, while we're yet mortal sinners, mortal, ready to die, these bodies, it quickens that body. What's quicken? Bring to life. The Spirit that wants like to drink and run around, commit adultery, all these things, it's quickened. Why? The thing died. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, Alexander McGoulis didn't want to show up to church this morning. But that thing died somewhere along the way. Well, I tell you what, some people like to, I'm going to go here now. Amen. Some people like to talk about that. Well, you know, I died to myself 30 years ago. Listen, you've got to do that every day. Amen. I think that's why people live where they live. Amen. They died out one time. Well, problem is your old man's kind of like the new man. He likes to play resurrection. and he'll come back if you let him. Amen. I protest by your rejoicing, I die daily. Amen. That's why we come to church and we get convicted. And God has to deal with us because we didn't die out at home like we should have in the first place. Well, it's the truth. Amen. If we were busy dying out every day like we were supposed to, wouldn't have to wait for church service to show up on Sunday to do it. We wait for the Lord to convict us, and he's been trying to, but we never pray, so. Gotta wait for an opportunity. You know, if he had Facebook, we'd be paying attention. Well, go ahead, preach anyhow. You know, if he had Twitter or a Tumblr account, we'd be right on top. Well, what's God got to say today? It's been 5 minutes since I looked. Listen, you don't need a good connection. If you didn't pay your cell phone bill this month, I've got good news. You can hear from God still. Amen. Well, like I said, if we just died out every day, well, praise the Lord. Well, that's not popular, but it's true. Amen. It's like we come to Spirit. We want to get refilled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's good. That's fine. But you don't have to wait for church. Amen. You don't have to wait for the tank to get empty. Is that right? You can get filled anytime you want. Is that right? Paul said, see, he said, to be filled and being filled with the Spirit. Sing yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You know that word filled and being filled, he says. What it's conveying in the Greek filled, because it says filled and being filled. It's repeating is what it is. It's like a man breathing. Look, I don't hold my breath and say, well, I hope I make it to church next Sunday. I tell you what, I got to such a place in my life. I noticed it this last week. You notice it when you can't breathe for a while. I've gotten to a place in my life like most of you, I breathe and I don't think about it. Shh. Praise the Lord, somebody. I better breathe. It's been a few minutes. Hey, man. You're breathing. The Spirit is just an analogy of the breath. Is that right? The breath of life? Is that right? Some people live their lives like they're swimmers, holding their breath between services, waiting to get refilled with the Holy Ghost so they can run around church and have a good time. Well, Brother Bram could do that in the woods. Hey, man, look, I'm not against you doing that, church. By all means. But some people wait to empty out so they get to church and have a good time. Man, I wait to get to church and have a good time. Amen, somebody. I'm going to die out and get refilled right at home if I got to. Don't matter if I'm in a prison. Don't matter if I'm in a hospital. I can get filled and refilled right there. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Like I said, this kingdom is bigger than us. It's bigger than this building. It's bigger than this ministry here. Your pastor will tell you the same thing. Amen. You don't got to wait here to show up here to taste the kingdom. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I feel that's where so many of us fail. We make it about church. Well, I'm sick. I can't wait to get to church so they pray for me. Pray now. Pray now. Well, there's nobody here. You pray. Well, hallelujah. That's all free, by the way. You can keep it. The thing died. Amen. The thing that would have stopped me from coming here today, he died. He died. They couldn't resuscitate him at the hospital. They ain't got enough equipment to drag him out of the sea of God's forgetfulness. Praise the Lord, somebody. He says it quickens your mortal body. Therefore, your bodies is the temple, singular. Your bodies is the temple of his dynamics. Amen. Because why? From the beginning you were part of the mechanics. Oh, there is your resurrection. There is the church and the resurrection with him. These bodies right now are quickened. See, you've heard. You believe. It changed you from a denomination to the word. Amen. Amen. Let me say it this way. It changed you from organization or an organism. Amen. Right. What changed it? You heard. You believe. What is the foundation? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, is that right? He built it in Christ. It's the apostles, prophets, not the men, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he told Peter, is that right? I'll build this church, this habitation we're talking about today. That's what makes it work. It's what it's built on. Amen. It's not built on man's idea. It's not built on popular opinion. It's not built on voting. Well, 4 more years, I had nothing to do with it. The only election that factors into this is the one that took place before the foundation of the world. If you were a part of his mechanics, you're revealed in his dynamics. Amen. This is the foundation. Jesus said, listen, this revelation, this foundation is so great. Jesus said he would build his church on it. Yes. Now listen, if he built his church on it, he must have had confidence it was going to work. Amen. Yes. Amen. Right. He said, I'll build my church on this. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, hallelujah. Take a moment and talk about that. Amen. Talk about a gate. And what is a gate? You look in the Old Testament. You look through the ancient world. What was the gate? It's where everybody went in and out at, obviously. But listen, when you have a great walled city, and this is the point of access, it's more than just an entryway or an exit. It's a seat of power. You look in the book of Ruth. You look in the book of Deuteronomy. Where did the elders sit in judgment at? In the gate of the city. All the business and all the judgment and all the political power, everything is invested in the gate of this city. Is that right? Now you think about this. The very gates of hell are against this revelation, but they cannot prevail. In fact, God told Abraham his seed would possess the gates of his enemy. Now, we could sit here. This is a little Magoolisology maybe. I don't know. I think this is scriptural. This is where I'm going with this. Amen. You can look at these gates and what has happened. Amen. And we can discuss, what is the gate of hell? What is the gate of hell? Is it this church? Is it an organization? Is it this? Is that? Is it Hollywood? Whatever. People got all kinds of ideas. And there might be, I don't know, but I do know of some gates of hell that I want to speak about for just a few moments. Amen. Because I'm personally acquainted with some gates of hell. You've got five gates. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody catch that here in a minute. You've got five gates, the prophet said, in your body. You got this eye gate, this ear gate. And listen, this body was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. These were gates of hell. You've got five gates of the spirit, your conscience, the reasons, affections, memories, imaginations. All these things in your life were subject to sin. Is that right? Somebody, come on, somebody help me out here a little bit. Amen. You've got gates in your own life that used to be the gates of hell. God, think about it. The devil used to take these eye gates and look at things that weren't fit to look at. He'd take your ear gate and listen to things that were filthy and monstrous. He'd take your hands and he'd take your vessel. He'd take your imagination, your memory, and defile with everything the kingdom of hell had to offer. Amen? But one day, you come into Christ. One day you got brought into this habitation, and these gates that used to look upon unclean things, now they look upon God's word. Amen. Ears that used to listen to perversion, now listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the songs of Zion. These gates, which once were made to serve the devil, were lust sworn against your soul through these gates. God has given you power over this. Listen, that's so much greater than taking over Defiance, Ohio, with some military somewhere. Hey, man, you've got possession over this. This very thing the devil fashioned to serve him after sin and darkness. But God said, no, you're going to possess those gates. Your eyes are going to do the things that God wants them to do. Your hands are going to hold not the sinful things of this world, but God's own word that you read. These gates of your reasoning and your affections that used to submit and serve the devil, God has made them to be a part of this habitation. Yes. It doesn't seem right, does it? To know the things that we've looked upon, to know the things that we've heard, the things that we've held, we've entertained in our hearts, our minds. Yet God has said, no, I'm going to possess those things. Those gates, they might have warred against you for a long time. But when this revelation came and revealed, they could not prevail against you. No matter what the devil did, what he threw at you, God could make a way. And there was no way. Your ear gate and your eye gate, God has taken preeminence of this life, this body. Amen. And he's made what was once a place of judgment, it's now a place of mercy. The words that once condemned you, by a man's words he's condemned, but by a man's words he's justified. The same mouth that spoke idle words and confessed wickedness is the same mouth that confesses Christ. It confesses the word of God. It bears witness with the spirit that we're the sons of God. What has God done? He's given you power over the gate of the enemy. Look, this body's not regenerated yet. Oh, I'm a witness of it this morning. I sure wish it was. It sure hurt a lot less. Bless, he's given me power over these things. He's given you power over these things. You understand that? Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. I hope that's all right this morning. Amen. I want to close up with this. Is this all right? Brother Bram said a true sign that's overlooked. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I know it's on tape, but here it comes anyhow. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's a shame. The people trying to use this, I never believe that the Holy Ghost was shaken. He said, I never believe that the Holy Ghost was evidence of speaking in tongues or crying or shouting. Them's emotional sensations. He says, I believe the Holy Ghost can do that. Now, there's some people in the message got away from that. Amen. He said, well, the Holy Ghost, the evidence of the Holy Ghost isn't speaking in tongues, so they don't speak in tongues. Well, that's not what God said to do. Yeah, they kick out the baby with the bathwater, what they do. Man, I believe God speaks in tongues. Yes. Well, he said he does. Right. Bob said, well, the prophet did. Yes. I know, I bother some people. I believe God still heals. Amen. Amen. You say, brother, you're sick. That had nothing to do with it. Amen. Well, come on, somebody. Yes. Look, if the only time you can preach you believe that God's a healer is when you're well, you don't really believe. Right. You believe because of your condition. Exactly. Look, I can look at this body today and say God's still a healer because this isn't what my faith is anchored in. No. It's anchored in the Word. It don't matter what condition I'm in. He said he's a healer and I believe it. That's like I was telling Brother Steve the other day. I remember reading Wigglesworth's memoirs. Here's a man that had kidney stones and he'd be praying for the sick. He'd watch one person after the other get healed in that sick line and he'd stop the prayer line, go to the bathroom, pass a kidney stone, come back and keep praying for the sick. Amen. Well, somebody believes something, I tell you what. That takes a little bit of faith, don't it? He had a little bit of backbone there, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Look, and people were getting healed. It wasn't about his condition. It's what the Word said. Yes. But the man suffered with stomach trouble most of his life. It didn't stop people from getting healed. Right. See, like I said, we make it about the man. Well, if the preacher's sick, I don't know if I can be healed. It's got nothing to do with it if you believe. It's got zero to do with anything if you believe the Word. Amen. God still does all them things. Is that right? But because he does all the things, that's not why we believe. We believe because he said it. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost can do that, but the Holy Ghost is tabernacling deity. I believe a great bunch of people that claim to have the Holy Ghost don't know one thing about it. You meet God, how the day of Pentecost. Now, it's like the Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, they ask, well, do you believe you got the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes, we accept it by faith. By faith, nothing. That isn't it. He said, He said, you like to see a sunset. You stand and you watch the sun go down. You cry and tears run down. That ain't God. That's an emotion, something that's in you. You hear somebody being sick or someone dying. You scream and cry out. That's not God. That's human emotion. How God, he said, I've seen people at a ball game get so happy they'd stammer their lips and everything. He said, don't tell me. We're in need of a revival, a salvation. The Pentecostals come around, get the people worked up, tell them what, when they speak in tongues. They got the Holy Ghost, and some of them will live all kinds of lives afterwards. See what I'm talking about? Not your lifestyle, the life that's in you. Tabernacling deity, amen? Listen, brother, at the day of Pentecost, it wasn't so. They never relied upon tongues or anything. While they were there standing in one place in one accord, God came down, literally, among them. God was there. It was no, well, accepted by faith. Or some emotion. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and then went out and began to speak with tongues. But first, they met God. Amen. See, everybody wants to bypass that step. You got to meet God. Is that right? That's what's the matter today. People get worked up, excited, emotion. And that's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is tabernacling deity. Your words is His words. Amen. Listen, I want you to understand, and this might seem elementary today, but I hope this is all right. I want you to understand that salvation, it's entirely supernatural from beginning to end. Amen? See, how could I stand up here and say, well, I believe the days of miracles is past. And God don't do those things anymore. When I've been born again. What kind of a miracle do you do in my life? Right. Well, listen, if I believe it's not just a reform of lifestyle. Right. But I believe that somebody has come. Yes. And a divine person has entered into my being. Yes. And taken over this life. If that's not supernatural, you tell me what is. Amen. Now, if God can do that, can't He also heal the sick? Yes, he can't He also prophesy? Right. Can't He also do all these other things? Yes. If God can do the greater, He can do the lesser. Amen. And then how can I say, well, I don't believe God does this? Listen, what God has done, when I'm talking about tabernacling deity, I think sometimes we forget just how bad we were before God got a hold of our lives. Right. Amen. Look, this is a greater miracle than stopping the sun or cleansing leprosy. That sounds great. But I think that God would take our filthy, putrid, wretched lives and make us tabernacles. Amen. That's a miracle. Amen. And if God can do that, surely He can heal the sick. Surely He can pay an unpaid bill.
Right.
Come on. Yes. Amen. That's more than walking on water. It's a temple made without hands.
Amen.
It's not just a super. This is the thing. It's not just some sort of a supernatural event. It's a supernatural life.
Amen.
Amen. It's the ministry of the Spirit in His church. Is that right? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to let you go. And in virtue of doing so, let myself go also. Well, we have to. Before we go, we're going to sing. We're going to have church. Amen. Don't think we're done yet. Are we done? I don't think we're done, Brother James. We're going to have some church still. You go ahead and praise God. Don't hold back from me. I like it. I like it. You get that skill. He's got a guitar out there. Good job. Let's praise God a little bit. Amen. If you want me to pray for you today, we'd be happy to pray for you, whatever you want. Whatever it is, though, here's the thing. Don't leave here empty-handed. If you gotta crawl through a bunch of people to grab the hem of His garment, you get on your knees right now. You get whatever you need from God, no matter how you gotta get it. Amen? Amen. Give me a key of G there. Well, I just think it's amazing. How about you? Is that all right? Oh, amazing grace. How sweet. Save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now praise Him now. Praise God. 61 in your songbook. Amen. It's time to let the devil know where you stand. Time to let the Lord know where you stand. Amen. This isn't the time to be wishy-washy. Amen, somebody.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's gird up our loins like a man. Time to man up a little bit. Amen. Let's do this. Amen. Let's make this kingdom. Let's give the devil, I tell you what, I come to give the devil black eye. Let him know I'm not defeated. Amen. Let's let him hear it today.
Oh, Jesus is my Savior. I shall not fear. Oh, I'm in His love and favor. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water.
Oh, no,
I shall not fear.
In my Christ abiding.
In my Christ abiding.
One time was going to give a speech. Oh, this is all right. Going to give a speech, and on his way to deliver his address, a man tried to assassinate him, shot him in the chest. And They looked at him and he said, I'm going to go anyway. And that man went and he sat in a hall and he spoke to the crowd of people for 90 minutes, bleeding the whole time. It bled through his shirt, his white shirt and everything. And finally, after about 90 minutes, he opened his jacket up and said, a man tried to kill me tonight outside the meeting. And he lifted up his jacket, showed everybody he'd been bleeding the whole time. I mean, the man had been shot. And he said, but it takes more than a bullet to stop a bull moose. I thought if a man could do that as a bull moose, what about a son or daughter of God?
Amen.
So I just want you to know that it takes more than pneumonia to stop a son of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to take more than what the devil's got to stop me and stop you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. We ought to just let him know where he's at. He ain't nothing. He ain't nothing to us. Is that right?
That's true.
Let's sing that one more time here. And I'll have Brother James take over the song service. If there's a need of prayer today for anything, we'll come up here and be happy to pray for you. Amen. This is time to defy the devil. Because you're part of something greater than all that. Amen. Believe that?
Oh, though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail.